Hi, my name is Andrew Connell, and in this brief video, I'm going to walk you through the Office 365 Development Patterns and Practices sample, core.event receivers. In an effort to help customers address the most impactful and useful scenarios, the Office 365 Development Patterns and Practices group has created a number of code samples that complete common customer scenarios. The code is published in a public GitHub repository located at https://github.com/officedev/pnp, and it contains solution packs of content as well as sample packs of sample code that has been reviewed by the Office 365 team and blessed as a recommended way to approach these different scenarios. This scenario shows how an app can use the app installed event to perform additional work in the host web, such as attaching event receivers to lists on the host web. This solution is a provider-hosted app. Remote event receivers are not supported with SharePoint-hosted apps, so it has to be done in a provider-hosted app. When an event is received indicating that the app was installed, our code checks to see if a list named Remote Event Receiver Jobs exists in the host web, and if it does not, it goes ahead and creates it. The code then checks to see if that list has a remote event receiver attached to it for the item added event, and if it doesn't, it goes ahead and creates one. Attaching a remote event receiver to an object in the host web only requires managed permissions on that object. If we were simply attaching an event to an existing list, then the app would only require managed permissions for that list. However, this sample also adds a list to the host web and activates a feature on the host web, both of which are going to require managed permissions for the web. Let's see the sample in action. Before we dive into the actual code in the solution, let's actually run the app and see what it does. I've opened the solution up inside Visual Studio 2013. You see here we've got two projects. All I've done is take the SharePoint project and set its start page to the start page of a developer site in my Office 365 tenant. I'll go ahead and click Start to build the application and deploy it to Office 365. This little message here is telling us that we can't do remote debugging of our remote event receiver without a service bus connection set up. I have not set one up for mine, so I'm just going to click OK just to get through this message. Once the app has been deployed to SharePoint, as SharePoint goes to install it, it's going to ask me if I want to trust the application. So I'll say, sure, let's trust it. Now, the start page for this remote event receiver application is the default page for my website that's created as the remote web. You can see that up here at the top with the local host. So what I have here is this run scenario and remove event receivers. What the run scenario button is going to do is it's going to create a new list in the host web where this app is installed, and then it's going to attach a remote event receiver to it. So let me go back to the site where this was installed, and we can see here on the site contents that all I have is the one app that was installed here called the Contoso Event Receivers. So I come over here to the remote event receiver and I click run scenario. What it will do is it will check to see if the list already exists, and if it doesn't exist, it'll create it, and then it'll attach a remote event receiver to that. I can see this if I come back to the site contents page and just refresh the page here, and now you see a new list called remote event receiver jobs. If I come to this list, and if I add a new item to this list, and we'll just call this test one, I'll have a description called description one, and it's assigned to me. Then I'll click save. What this will do is it'll kick off the remote event receiver once the item is saved inside of my remote web, and it should call back and actually update the item. So right now we don't see that's been done yet, but if I go into the item and just give it a second, and here we can see that the item was actually updated by the remote event receiver, because it says updated by a remote event receiver with a timestamp. So let's take a look and see how this actually works. I'm going to go ahead and close this out, and we'll stop the application, and let's pick through the code a little bit. So let's take a look at the code here. If I look at the app manifest for my SharePoint app, we'll see it's a provider-hosted app, which means it's going to be installed in SharePoint, but the real stuff is going to be living inside of my remote web. So here's the start page for the remote web. If I come over here to the pages folder and look at default.aspx, All this really has is two buttons on it. One to start the scenario, one to remove the scenario. So let's take a look at the code for this. I'll open up the default.aspx, and then I'm going to skip past the pre-init and the onload event for the page. They're just the stock stuff. So here's what happens on when I collect this button for the scenario click. What this does is it uses a class called the remote event receiver manager, and it calls a method associate remote events to the host web. This is a class that's created inside of this remote web project. So let's take a look at what this does. I'll go over here to the declaration of it. So at the beginning here, what you see are two constants. We have a receiver name and a list title. The method that we just called was associate remote events to the host web. The next part here is I'm going to get the title and the event receivers lists for the list that we're going to be creating here. So I'm going to go try and find that list. If the list doesn't already exist, I'm going to go create that list. I'm not going to go into the details of how we create a list. That's shown in many other samples about how to create lists inside this patterns and practices package. What I want to look at here, though, is down once I've created the list, or at least I have a reference to it, then I see where I've created a remote event receiver, or I'm getting a list of all the remote event receivers inside this list. So I'll get a reference to all the remote event receivers. I'm going to check to see if the one that we've already created is already there. So if it's already there, then I'm just going to say, yes, we've already found it. I'm not going to add it again. Now, in the case of if I had created the list, or if the list already exists and the remote event receiver was not there, I want to add the remote event receiver to the list. So the way I'm going to do that is use this event receiver definition creation information. And what that's going to do is that's going to allow me to create a new remote event receiver. The event type for this is going to be when items are added. The event receiver URL is the URL of the current site that I'm currently in, the remote web, I'm just building that up, /services/app-event-receiver.svc. I'll show you that in just a moment. Then I'll give it a name. I'll say it is a synchronous event. That means it is a two-way event. It's going to get a response to come back. It's not a one-way event. I'll simply add the event receiver to the event receivers collection and then save my changes. Now, if I was doing this with fully trusted code, I wouldn't need to create a remote event receiver because my event receivers could run on the server. And so I could just create a standard event receiver that runs in the context of SharePoint. But in the app model, we can't put server-side code on the SharePoint box. Let's take a look at this event receiver service here. The remote event receiver implements a specific interface, the iRemote event service. This simply has two methods on it, or defined in the interface. Process event, and the other method is process one-way event. This second one is going to be used for asynchronous events where I'm just doing a fire and forget. I'm not doing that in this case. I'm actually using a process event. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to create a new variable that's of type SP remote event result. That's how we can respond, handle a response back to SharePoint and tell it some things about the event or what to do. First, I'm checking to see if the event that's being passed in is one of the events for apps being installed or apps being uninstalled. The one that I just showed you in the demo here is this, what happens if items are added. If items are added, I'm going to call the function, the method handle item added. So let's take a look at this one. What this one's going to do is it's going to get a reference to the client context. And then it's going to call a method on my remote event receiver manager called item added to the list event handler. And what it does is it passes in a client context, the ID of the item of the list, and the ID of the item that was actually added to the list. So let's take a look at this one. If I right click and go into his declaration, what we'll see here is that I'm first getting a reference to all to the list, and you see it's referencing, it's using photos here, but it's a variable name, but it doesn't really matter in this case because we're just using standard lists. I'm getting a reference to the actual list itself and the list item that was added, and then I'm simply changing the description field to say updated by remote event receiver and then passing in this string and then saving my changes. And again, To get the code for all of the Office 365 Developer Patterns and Practices group, make sure you go to GitHub at github.com/officedev/PMP. If you want to discuss these different samples, ask questions, and interact with the team, they have a dedicated group in the Office 365 technical network in Yammer. Just go to yammer.com/ITProNetwork and look for the group called O365 Dev Patterns and Practices.